can't decide and torn between a romantic, comedy, action, or an indie film to watch for the weekend? Well, 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 Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast is your ultimate guide to the latest movies. Join Jordan, Keith, and Mariano as the trio dissects what's latest on the blockbusters. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast.
Celebrating actually watching the movies this time, it is the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast with Jordan and
Keith. Mariano.
There you go.
There we go. Yeah, that's
three
all
the
of them.
Way. Yeah, what's going on?
Three out of three ain't bad.
How's it going, guys?
Good. How are you, dude?
It's going good. I'm happy. What about you? I'm really excited because for this week, movies, music, it's been good stuff. It treated me well. I enjoyed everything.
Okay. Yeah, this was actually a really good week, huh?
This
yeah.
is just, I was excited about it, especially when I listened and watched everything. I thought, I'm feeling pretty confident this is going to be something to deliver on, you know? This is.
Okay, right on.
Yeah, so.
That's what's up.
That being said, today on the special 22nd episode of our movies podcast, we're going to review two movies, two exceptional movies, those being Pete's Dragon and A Hologram for the King.
Yes.
Right? Right?
So, yes, that's right. So, of course, we can start off with Pete's Dragon. That's the movie in the theaters. A Hologram for the King is now available on DVD release, so we'll talk about that a little bit later. That's a new DVD release, actually,
right.
Tom Hanks.
Yeah, so let's get into Pete's Dragon, then.
Yes.
I'm excited for it. What did you guys think?
Well, why don't we talk about the movie
first? I was going to say.
Oh, I forgot. We have an
You're
order.
You're a little too excited, bro.
There's a little method to our madness.
Yeah, so basically Pete's Dragon, which is directed by David Lowery, he's going to be doing the new Peter Pan next year, so.
Excited about that.
I liked the last Peter Pan, too. It's been a while, but you know, that live-action one.
With the Andrew Garfield?
Yes.
Yes, nothing's going to go wrong. I've got a good feeling about this Peter Pan.
And he has done some shorts in the past, like Until We Could. And he did one episode for a television show called Rectify. And he did a movie called Ain't Them Bodies Saints in 2013. And a number of film shorts. So this is one of two feature films that he's done, looks like. But yeah, he's been around for a while doing his thing. Now, as an editor, he's edited a lot of different films. So that's pretty cool, too, actually. So he's like a double threat there, you know, directing and editing.
Would you say the other movie he did that was his other feature film?
Is called Ain't Them Bodies Saints.
So I guess this is his biggest so far.
Yes.
This is.
Yeah, it was in 2013. So, yes.
Yeah.
So Peace Dragon.
It's basically if Tarzan was left in the woods, but not the jungle, and he also found a dragon instead of a gorilla to help him get through.
That's exactly how I would have described it. It's like,
okay. Yeah, I'm listening.
Yeah, what I got from it was that I almost, like, if I didn't know that Pete's Dragon was a movie back then, mm-hmm. you know, and this is a remake,
yeah,
then I would have thought this was kind of like a Tarzan, some sort of like reboot or reimagining. But so should we just go over the premise now?
Yeah, let's do it. I feel like we described
a young boy,
it in.
No problem. There's a young boy there. Now, he tragically loses his family at a young age. He's stuck in the woods by himself, which he wouldn't have survived without the help of this dragon that
he
met.
Is like 5 years old when this happens to him.
And now, he's in the woods for about 6 years with the help of this dragon. And I don't want to give away too much, but then things happen which complicate that just a little bit.
That relationship.
Exactly.
And he calls the dragon Elliot.
Yes.
Elliot the dragon.
And of course, the kid is Pete, of course.
Pete and Elliot, what a beautiful friendship. As you guys know, like all things like this, like Iron Giant and all, like children with big, crazy, you know, imaginative, like friends, something bad happens, people don't like it, you know.
This film also stars, so let's go over the cast real quick. So,
okay.
You know, okay, yeah.
Pete is Oakes Fegley. Or Feigley, you know, F-E-G-L-E-Y. So he does a great job. Bryce Dallas Howard, who is Ron Howard's daughter, actually, plays Grace. And, of course, the legendary Robert Redford is Meacham, who plays her dad. So he's in this film. And then it's delightful to see Carl Urban, who plays Gavin. So, you know, and that's Jack, Wes Bentley's brother, in the movie. And, you know, Carl Urban is also from Star Trek. He plays Dr. McCoy in the Star Trek movies. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he's been around for a little while, too.
He was in one of the Riddick movies.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's pretty good. Yeah. Right. So he's been around for a while. I liked him in the Star Trek movies. I feel like he fit a little better into this movie. I like the English, because he's an English actor, right?
Yeah. Yes.
The accent kind of came out a little bit for me in the Star Trek, and
not really. Not to me. Not at all. Well, I thought he was a great Dr. McCoy.
He was, but he didn't, like... He didn't sound English, but he didn't sound American. Does that make sense? And I mean, it didn't really compromise him too much.
I didn't get that. Okay.
No worries. But I liked him in this movie. The rest of the cast was pretty good. The little boy was pretty good. I mean,
he was great.
Right?
Yeah, he was great.
One thing that I did notice, I was looking up, I look up like the comments and things for different movies. Uh-huh. People thought that the dragon CGI was pretty good.
Well, it was. Like I said, when I watch films, I don't really think about the CGI that much unless it's really, really, really obviously bad.
Mm. Or really
only
good.
The only time that bothers me is like when I see people driving in the films and I can tell they're not really driving.
Oh,
the background. That's the only time I get kind of agitated.
I think everybody has like one of those singular pet peeves when it comes to a movie like that. Like, you may not notice the fact that the trees are fake, but you'll notice that that bush looks weird.
Yeah. You know what?
Yeah. Or when you get that screensaver that's the background.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? I have a similar one, and it's not when the CGI is so bad, it's just when it's unnecessary. Like, why, if it's like an action sequence where these people can't really do these things, and I understand that, but why would you make the rest of it CGI? Like when they did what was it, 300, and like the whole thing was CGI almost?
Yeah, the whole thing was,
right?
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
with the movies that are prop driven, just look and feel, there's just more gravity to the things. Like, there's little things they don't account for.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree. Yeah, I hear you. But no, this is a great film.
Jungle Book though, that was some great CGI.
Yeah, I didn't even notice, so it was.
Yeah, that was good CGI. Yeah. This film, though, I enjoyed it, and I enjoyed it more than I thought I would, too.
It's a very nice film. It's a good film about family. It's a good film about friendship. It's a good film about stretching your imagination and going outside of your box, you know. So, you know, no one wanted to believe that Pete had this friend, you know. That's the funny thing, because Grace, played by Bryce Dallas Howard, you know, Jordan's girlfriend over here. She
Jordan has a girlfriend. She's mine.
she plays the resident skeptic, basically, you know, and that's cool to see how all that plays out. And you know, watching Robert Redford in this film was nice too. You know, playing the older guy, the dad, the guy talking to the kids, that was cool.
It's a real internal debate for me who did a better job, if it was Robert Redford or Bryce Dallas Howard, because they were both so enjoyable in the movie. I think everybody,
well, I think
though,
the
they played
the
their parts well.
The ensemble was just great. Everyone played their roles very well.
Yep, and they played well together too.
Yes,
they did. It was a real team effort.
And Oakes Fegley or Fegley plays Pete. You know, definitely a star on the rise. Wes Bentley played Jack. You know, Grace's boyfriend. Yeah, I mean, everyone was good. And then Una Lawrence played Natalie, you know, and she winds up, you know, becoming Pete's friend. And she's adorable. She plays the daughter to Mila Kunis in Bad Moms. So she's in two movies this month.
Really?
She's in Bad Moms. And she's really cute in that and real funny in that, you know, in that movie.
That's very cool. Yeah.
So Una Lawrence.
So you guys liked the movie, though?
It's an excellent film. It's a great film. It's a great family film. It's just a great film altogether.
Yeah.
So it's a good feel-good movie. It's nice.
I liked the movie. I don't know if it's a great film. I think it's a good film, but I liked it.
I think so too. It's not something that I would return to. Like when we saw Finding Dory.
Yeah. I watch it again.
You'd watch a kid's movie sometimes, and I think whenever I do have a kid, this is one of the ones like, you got to check this one out. Little Junior Johnson, Jimmy, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's so good. This is going to like impact through.
I thought it was a very good kid's film. So, and it was very,
I'm curious.
Very, very practical too. At some of the responses that Elliot the Dragon was getting from certain people. It was very, very believable.
Have you guys ever seen the original?
No, I haven't seen it.
I want to watch the original.
So do I, actually.
Yeah, I could give it a chance. We've seen a lot of good kids' movies this year so far, and we've seen a lot.
It's been
a lot of
fun. This is one of them, definitely.
I just don't think, like, I would show Big Friendly Giant to a kid before I would show Pete's Dragon. Like, as far as where it ranks,
I would just show them both
in my head. Like, but you know what I mean. As far as where it ranks in my head against the other movies that we've reviewed that are kids' movies,
I understand what you're saying.
It falls a little behind for me.
I understand what you're saying, but
it doesn't for me.
But to me, it does for me. But the thing is, if we're talking about kids, I feel like they'd enjoy it just as much, you know, because the little technical things that we find wrong with the movie, or not necessarily wrong, but that we find better with BFG, I don't think a kid would care. I just think that it's a great story and it's got a dragon that looks pretty good. And I think that kids would gravitate toward that.
I think it depends on the child. I think some children would prefer this over BFG. So it just depends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there are movies.
This would split people in half probably.
Because everybody has those movies that are bad movies, but you like them. You know, like I love the movie Doom, and it's a terrible movie, but for some reason I just like it. But this one isn't
so bad. It's good. I hear you.
Yeah. Well, not even that. Like, but it's just some like redeeming features about it are those ones that really resonate with me. But to be clear, I'm not comparing because this is not a bad movie.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. So what's your rating for it?
7 out of 10.
I'm gonna give it an 8.
Okay.
Give it a 6.5, maybe 7 too.
Okay. Yeah.
So with that, we're going to have to go to a commercial
giving
break.
Giving it a 6 is saying that you don't really like the film, bro. Just let
no,
you know.
No, 6 beats it towards it. I mean,
6 is like an average,
you
bro.
Keep your ratings, Keith. I'll keep my
I'm
ratings.
I'm just letting you know.
I'm doing a
I'm
good 6.
You know.
It was
a
an
6
okay
is
movie.
Like an insult, dude.
It's well, to be fair, to be fair, why don't we keep it like this from now on? So on the scale of 1 to 10, 5 is neutral. Anything below that is I wouldn't watch it again. Like, or like I don't care for it. 6 is like I cared for it, but not that much. And then it just grows up from there.
I'd give 6.5. I think that's a good way to go.
If I was a film director and you gave my movie a 6, I would take it to keep it. That's just me.
Well, thank God you're not a film director, Keith. And
it's
on that
though.
Note,
I mean, yeah.
We got to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to be doing A Hologram for a King. So you guys stick around.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
And we are back.
Hola, welcome back.
So we just did Pete's Dragon. What was that? 6.5, 7, and an 8. There we go.
So that rounds out to about 7.5. 7.25, yeah.
That's a good one, Mariano. I didn't know you were a numbers guy. Yeah.
So.
Impressive. Got some calculus I need you to take a look at. In the meantime, we have another review coming for A Hologram for the King.
Yes.
Starring Tom Hanks.
Which is new on DVD release.
Yeah, so you guys have to check it out. It's first of all, I guess we can break into what this movie's all about.
Well, first of all, it's directed by Tom Tyker. And Tom has directed in the past Babylon Berlin, which is a TV series. He did 16 episodes. But that's filming right now, actually, so that'll come out next year. The Netflix original TV series Sense 8, which is produced by the Wachowski brothers. He did 2 episodes for that. And he's done Cloud Atlas.
Oh, man,
Cloud
Atlas.
Which is also
Atlas,
Wachowski
yeah.
brothers.
And also with Tom Hanks.
Yeah, exactly. 3, 60 Seconds of Solitude in Year Zero. Let's see. The International, Paris Je T'aime. He did a segment of that. Faubourg Saint-Denis. Heavens, The Princess and the Warrior, Run, Lola, Run. Yeah, so he's got a nice portfolio of films that he's done. So, yeah, like you said, the stars Tom Hanks.
So it's Miss Sarita Chowdhury.
Yes.
And she was also in
Mississippi Masala.
Yeah, and A Perfect Murder. So She's got a few movies. Not as well known as Mr. Tom Hanks, but you can't say that about a lot of
people. Yeah, who is?
World.
I know.
No, yeah, she plays Zara, who was a doctor, and Tom Hanks plays Alan, of course. So, and
we have Tom Skerritt too. Yeah,
yeah, who plays his dad? Who does a good job?
You guys may know Tom Skerritt from Alien, Top Gun. He is in a lot of movies.
Yeah, and the TV series Picket Fences he used to be on too.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
So. And one of the guys who stole the show in this film actually was Alexander Black.
The cab driver?
Oh, yeah. Alexander Black.
That was my favorite.
Yeah, he was great.
I've never seen him in anything before. I guess this is his first movie. Uh-huh. But he did a really fantastic job.
Yes. So this film is about basically, you know, Tom Hanks plays an American sales rep who, you know, he's just not doing too well. He's basically a failed sales rep, and he's trying to recoup his losses. So he does a business deal in Saudi Arabia, and he's trying to sell IT to the king of Saudi Arabia. And when he gets there, there's just all kinds of problems. You know, one of the first things is he's an American, so the Saudi Arabians are, you know, in the movie, they walk a fine line of not of ignoring him, but keeping him still there.
Right.
So.
And the king is always
busy. He's the king, which makes sense. He's always on the go. So, yeah, it's a good film, though. I mean, when I saw the trailer for this film, I was just like, it's one of those films where the trailer didn't really move me, but watching the film it was a different story, if that makes any sense.
That does make sense.
Yeah, the trailer wasn't really capturing what the movie represented, which was a lot.
Which was kind of hard to do anyway with that movie. But go ahead.
I thought it was kind of a heavy movie to me, not necessarily in an emotional sense where you go out of it thinking, oh, God, that was so much, like Eye in the Sky was. But it was definitely a movie that felt like there was so much to take in. You know, I felt like there was a lot going on in it that wasn't necessarily in the dialogue, which I think kind of made the movie beautiful to me.
I think that's what Tom Hanks is really good at, though.
Yeah, and I think so, too. Tom Hanks has that ability, and I guess that's what I was expecting. Whenever I came into this movie, Tom Hanks is one of those actors where you'll immediately go, all right, well, at least Tom Hanks is in it. Let's give it a shot.
Right. He has that great sense of like gravity with things. I kind of consistently found that the cab scenes were my favorite.
Mine, too, but I think,
The doctor wasn't bad either, but, you know, the overall kind of story, like, I guess I don't know what it's like to be, you know, he was struggling with that kind of middle age, you know, where am I right now? Am I going to like burst this glass ceiling? And that is not something that I've seen too much lately in movies. And it was kind of a nice, refreshing take. And if anyone had to do it, I feel like Tom Hanks was a good, you know, pick for that just because he portrays things so well. But I feel like he's that guy that can take these like roles that could be bad, but make them good and make them realistic. Like Forrest Gump could have been terrible, but he spun it just the right way. Do you know what I mean?
I understand what you're
saying. Because there were movies like Radio, which was good, you know?
Yeah.
But get a little weird. In comparison to Forrest Gump, you know, like Tom Hanks has that, I don't know, there's something about his kind of persona and his presence that's very like, I don't want to say soothing, but very believable.
This was definitely a different type of role for him, and he did a great job with it.
Right.
Even the opening segment of the film was very interesting. Just the opening scene was different. I mean, it was cool. It made it very trippy, and then just
they have those kind of trippy moments throughout the movie.
Yes.
I appreciated that.
Yeah, that was a different type of filming.
It opened up unusually, like you said, Keith, but as it went on, it had these little interludes, these little moments that felt kind of out of reality.
Oh, yeah. Well, they were, weren't they?
Right. They were out of reality. But it's just that suspension of this is a movie that's kind of, in a way, it's heavily planted in this realistic setting. And at the same time, it jumps a little bit around.
There's some good humor in this movie, too. And what I liked about this film is that you understand that this is a monarchy. You understand that this is a rich country with a lot of money. And maybe, within this film, the problem may be just setting up the infrastructure and getting that executed. But you can tell it's a very wealthy, rich country and a very culturally rich and thick country. And what I liked about this film, too, is that there was no – I mean, you got to see that, you know, the people in this country live a certain way and that you're definitely an American and you're a tourist. And you got to see a nice balance between how they intertwine and interacted with each other to an extent.
Yeah.
So it was very interesting to see that, like, you know, when he sees the doctor for the first time, you know, for Tom Hanks, it was like, you know, I had a doctor and it was a lady, but Yusef was like, you had a female doctor. He goes, that's different, you know, but, you know, they didn't dwell on those different things. I mean, the movie just kept going. The story kept going. You understood that, okay, in this country, I have to respect this culture. And all that was in the film, and I thought that was done very well.
Right, and it gives you tastes of it.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying. Yeah.
To me, it kind of felt like in those scenes, it almost felt like, what is it, Lost in Translation? You know the movie?
Well, I saw that a long time ago. I have to watch it again, actually.
But
it's been a while since
I've seen it. But you guys kind of understand, like, one of those where American, you know, guy comes into a different culture and he's kind of adjusting. And it wasn't as heavy. It didn't rely on him being that fish out of water type. It was more of a learning experience for him. It wasn't him going, well, I don't
know. Well, the learning curve is fun to see.
The learning curve is really fun to see.
Well, yeah, and he wasn't really upset about that. I mean, he just seemed to be lost with himself, you know, for a good part of the movie.
Yeah.
So, you know, so, but it was cool when you get a chance to see the presentation, the IT presentation, when they finally do get a chance to.
The hologram part.
Yeah, that was fun. That was very cool. So.
It was a fun, interesting movie, and it feels like a movie that when I return to it, and I definitely intend to, I feel like I'm going to pick up things I didn't the first go around.
The only thing that
I know what you mean.
The only complaint I have, and it's just a small one, because at the same time it was an integral part of the movie, was that I get tired of the guy who's divorced with the kid. I get tired of seeing that. I get tired
just
of that.
Just a guy divorced with a kid
in the movie. Yeah, everybody's not divorced. I get tired of that.
But there's a heavy amount of people that are divorced. Like, that's not something.
Well, yeah,
it's become
a cliche, though. But in this regard, it was integral to the story, so I can't say too much in that regard. But like I said, usually, I mean, that's the only complaint I would have, is that I get tired of seeing these stories where, you know, the actor or the actress is divorced, they got a kid, they got issues with the ex. That becomes a cliche to me in Hollywood.
I don't really agree with that whatsoever, because they did kind of introduce something else. Normally, whenever you have a dad that's divorced and he has a kid, the kid's kind of like he has to take care of the kid. It's a story that's centered around him taking care of the kid one way or the other. The child is an adult. I mean,
You're missing the point. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about just the fact that he's divorced with the kid. Like I said, that's become a cliche in Hollywood, where everyone's divorced. That gets to be, you know, it's just overused now. But like I said too, though, but in this regard, it was an integral part of the story. So that would be a small complaint that I have, but I did enjoy the film.
Yeah.
That would be the only complaint that I had, is that why does the character always have to be divorced? You know, that gets annoying. That's what I'm saying.
I think
it's rare to see main characters where they're married and they're happily married with children.
Happily married is one thing, but that's a little bit rarer to find. But I think marriage struggles and divorce.
We become too desensitized where we're used to seeing this.
Divorce is common. I mean, it's out there. I mean, we do it because it's everywhere. It's not like a movie that's always centered on drilling into the moon.
But it becomes a cliche, though, dude.
Let me touch on your point, and then I had something to add to your point.
Okay. Jordan. And then we're going to have to go to commercial after that.
Okay. So real quick. I would have been more annoyed by it if they didn't add the spin of the whole kind of midlife crisis thing, because that's somewhat fresh to me. But when I kind of sit and think about it, if he was married, instead of it being like the divorced guy who's kind of got nothing to lose and nothing to live for, but he's running out of options, so to speak, so he feels that sense of desperation, I think it would have been way more, you know, heavy if he was the married guy who has mouths to feed and therefore he's running out of options. That would have been pretty good, actually.
Yeah, I agree. But like I said, the film is fine. Like I said, in this instance, it worked because it was an integral part of the story.
Right.
That's all I can say. So that's fine. But I'm talking about in the other stories. Like I said, I just get tired of seeing that part.
No, we hear you.
Otherwise, this would have been perfect for me in that regard. This film would have been perfect if it was not for that little part. Otherwise, I enjoyed it. So
okay.
But go ahead. We can go to break.
So we're going to head to a commercial. And after that, we're going to, you know, give our ratings for this movie and do a wrap up. So you guys hang in there, and we will talk to you guys very soon. We promise.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, guaranteed to fill that podcast itch, whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
And welcome back.
Hello.
How's it going, guys?
Good, good. So, we just finished up our movie review for A Hologram for the King.
Yeah.
Now, we didn't give ratings for that movie.
No, we didn't, no.
What do you guys think?
7.5
I'm going to go 8.
8?
Yes.
I totally understand that. Yeah. But
if you totally understand that, why don't go 8 then?
I get it so much, but 7.5 for me.
I get you. The gut feeling.
Yeah. What about you, Keith?
I go with the 8.
8?
It's a good film.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's worth watching.
That's a solid rating, 7.75.
Yeah, that's good.
Excellent film.
That's accurate, too,
that's
by the way.
That's a good dive.
Check my math.
People listening, you should definitely rent this film. If you want a good dramedy, you should check it out.
Definitely. And let me just say that I looked it up on the different play services. Like, if you go to YouTube or Amazon, you can rent movies off of YouTube. It's like, and this movie was, I want to say, $4.
Really?
You can do that off of Amazon,
or you
too.
Can get a Redbox off of Amazon. For $1.
I normally do off Amazon, but for people who may not like use Amazon, YouTube, just look it up. And there's just an option to rent it, and it's worth the $4 for sure.
And because it's a new release, you can get it, like you said, at the Redbox.
Right, at Redbox,
now.
Yeah.
So that's fine. So definitely a DVD rental worth watching. So,
yeah, I think
it's
so.
A nice sleeper that's a real big hit.
What do you think your favorite, what did you guys like most about the movie itself for Hologram for a King?
My favorite thing was the cab scenes.
Yes, me too. Yusef was awesome. My favorite was Yusef, and my favorite was when he took Tom Hanks' character out to meet his family in the desert, and the guy asked him if he was working for the CIA, because I think that's in the trailer too, I believe.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I think you're right. When they're you see them in the desert, at least in the trailer.
Yeah, so that was funny. He goes, "You don't joke about that." Not out here. He's like, after I said that, I realized that. Yeah, that was a cute moment. Yeah, I enjoyed that. So yeah, those are my favorite scenes.
Yeah, those guys kind of pushed the movie for me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Yusef was great. Yeah.
I think so, too. I think that he's where a lot of the lighthearted came into this movie.
Oh, yeah. And I loved his fascination with American music. Yeah, very funny. So there should be more good things coming from Mr. Alexander Black. Yeah.
Definitely.
So he did a good job. But, of course, Tom Hanks always. Sarita Chaudhuri, awesome. So, yeah, it's an excellent film.
So this is the second movie that those guys had worked on together?
Who?
Tom Hanks and the director?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, since Cloud Atlas, yes.
Okay. We might see a little alliance forming. You never know.
Well, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, like Tim Burton, Johnny Depp kind of thing. Yeah,
Helena Bonham Carter and all them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That'd be really
exciting.
Yeah, when the chemistry's right, it's right. So,
And, both movies, Cloud Atlas, Hologram for a King, they were real winners for me. They were movies that seemed like there was so much more going on, even, more than you can grasp at times. That's with Hologram for the King. That's why I said that I feel like I'm going to pick more up if I watch it again, because it felt like there was a lot in it. It felt
definitely.
Like
and
there
you
was
know
just
what?
A lot of small scenes that I feel like I could have even missed through it.
I know exactly what you mean, and that sounds like it could be a bad thing, but for an every once in a while type movie, that's pretty okay. Like, I like to watch movies that are simple and okay, I get it, this is what it is, A to Z.
Yeah.
But every now and again, I like a movie that makes me kind of rack my brain.
I know what you mean. And that's something that I really liked about this movie. It felt like a brain racker,
you know? One of those that's like a now and then type of movie, but when you watch it, it's good.
Yeah, and I think the fact that you'd want to go back and see some of those smaller details, I think that really – it makes the movie feel like it
– Well, it gives it a purpose to go back and, to watch it again.
Well, it was directed well, and the editing was done well. Like I said, I mean, the way this movie unfolds was excellent. Like you said, the interludes, as you alluded to, with the flashback scenes, those were superb.
They really were.
They were done superbly. I mean, they were interwoven very, very nicely. So, in some ways, I almost wanted to get more from that than what we got. But we still got just enough, so.
You know what else I really enjoyed about it was you got to kind of see Saudi Arabia. You got to – I kind of got a glimpse at
a culture. Yeah, it's a very rich country, you know, culturally and you know, financially. I mean, and it's got a room for a lot of potential, it looks like, when you watch this movie, all that space and all that desert. So, yeah. So it was definitely – it was cool. A very cool movie. And then Peach Dragon was great. So
you guys want a desert island it?
Yes, but – let's talk about Pete's Dragon really quick, though.
Pete's Dragon.
Yeah, that, just to kind of refresh it, and then we'll desert island it.
Sounds good. Pete's Dragon, lighthearted, way more so than Hologram for the King.
Yes, way more like approachable than Hologram for the King. Not as like important a film, I would think, considering all the underlying issues.
Yeah,
that,
no, you know, it's a fun kids movie. It's right. Something that,
and it's a reboot of a classic.
Yeah.
Yes, but there's themes in that film that are important too, like family.
Oh, I totally agree.
Friendship.
Yeah.
And you know,
loyalty. You know, I mean, there's reoccurring themes in that. Adoption, you know, being orphan, being isolated. You know, there's so many different things.
Yeah,
like that.
I really like them. I really like the kind of
fear. So, huh?
I really like the kind of maternal like flip on it that a dragon just decides to take care of a kid. Yeah. I feel like there's a lot to be said there for someone who, you know, who's definitely into that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, that one has some good adult themes and messages, too.
Yeah.
Just have to see it, you know.
Oh, so. I agree. It's not at all like a bland movie. I just thought Hologram for a King had more in terms of maybe things that are a little more like, what's the word, like risque, I guess, that, you know, that.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, there was, yeah,
risque,
definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. I mean, it's a different type of story.
Right.
So.
But Pete's Dragon, the dragon was actually pretty good for CGI. I mean, nothing like Jungle Book, but it's a dragon, so, you know, that's okay. If we're doing Desert Island, I would go Pete's Dragon.
Really?
Yes.
And I can understand where you're coming from because typically you'd want something like
a little more uplifting.
We've originally turned the scenario, which was supposed to be what you like more out of the two, but it's become what you would listen to watch on the drag on an island. What would you listen to realistically from an island?
But that's okay because I can defend it the other way too. But I'll wait for you guys to give yours and then I'll.
I think that I would go that's a really tough decision because I think I'd go with Hologram for the King because in the movie overall. Despite it being heavier, despite it being a bit slower than, you know, a CGI dragon, you know, flying around, it felt very rewarding to watch. And it also felt like something that felt uplifting, you know. You come out of it feeling, like, more confident about the way things are going on in your life, really. Like, the ability to have a handle on it.
Okay.
I'll go for a Hologram for the King, too. So.
Okay,
because it's, yeah. Yeah, it's a, yeah. Because I enjoyed the story. I mean, they're both great movies, but yeah. Yeah, I enjoyed the story a lot. And I just like the chemistry that he had with certain people. You know, it's a good, you know, this, A Hologram for the King is basically about Tom Hanks' character finding himself. But it's also, too, about looking at the past and reflecting on some mistakes that you've made and understanding that. So his character, Alan, you know, he went through a free fall and a self-discovery throughout the movie. So, I mean, you saw the free fall, and then you saw his rebirth.
Yeah.
So if you're on the island, you definitely want something that inspirational.
Kind of like the fundamentals of caring.
Exactly. Right. Technically speaking, you know, in this case, I'm going to say it would be a tie. I would have both these films on the island. I just have to have them both.
You know, I think it really speaks volumes that we were both wanting to do Hologram for a King because typically when we do this and we see two good movies, we typically
choose the lighter movie.
We choose the lighter movie because it seems like something more necessary for a stranded, deserted island.
Right.
But the uplifting message that carries through something as heavy as Hologram for the King still kind of prevailed in my mind as something that I would want to take with me and keep for an optimistic approach to how I'm dealing with things.
Definitely, and I totally understand your guys' point, so let me just articulate mine really quick. The thing that I liked about Pete's Dragon that would make me choose it over the other on the island, because I do think that A Hologram for the King is a better movie, but the kind of underlying theme that drives me, the uplifting feeling that I got from that movie was, number one, the fact, you know, when you think of the things like the fear and everything that must have, I know it's obviously a fake story, but that it, you know, when you, the best part about a movie is kind of, you know, what if, and you kind of put yourself in that position.
Right.
Now, when you take that and you consider you know, just what is the what are the odds that this dragon would take this kid and instead of kill it and eat it, it would decide to take care of it? And this boy at the same time, out of either necessity or curiosity or whatever, decides to go along with it. And they've created this thing that shouldn't work but does. And that, to me, kind of creates its own sense of uplifting.
I think it's a great film. Yeah. Like I said, if anything, you know, I changed it. Like I said, I have to have both. I can't choose one or the other in this instance.
Do you guys get what I mean?
I have to have both those movies. So
yeah.
Did you get my meaning?
Definitely. Because of the movies from that podcast, from this podcast, I have to have them both. I can't choose one or the other over the other.
Okay.
First time. So, yeah. So I would choose Pete's Dragon as well. It's a great film. It's a fun film. So
then that leaves us at a perfect tie again because we have one Pete's Dragon, one's a hologram for the king, and then one both. It's all good. They were two good movies. There's no loser. Like there's no. Whenever we have two good movies and we choose one over the other, I feel like it's always important to kind of articulate that if you choose even the other, there's no wrong answer here. Both of these movies are worth the money, worth the time.
And sometimes we don't even choose the better one. It just seems like something that you'd be able to watch over and over again.
Right, and if we don't like it, we'll say it. So both of these movies are definitely worth a watch.
Yeah, I would definitely like to own both of them, so if that tells you anything. So.
Yeah, okay. So with that being said, this is the end of our show.
Nice.
I had a lot of fun with this one. Like
me
I
too.
Said, this has been a great week for movies, music.
We really were able to chew on this one. I liked it.
Yeah. I think so, too. So that being said, if you guys liked what you heard, you can find us on gsmcpodcast.com. You can find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And, of course, Instagram, too. Check us out on Instagram. So with that being said, guys, anything else?
Nope. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. And until next time, you guys have a great day.